Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We are going to be discussing an Apple TV Plus. I always forget what their platform is called. And I was going so slow and just like looking at Jordan on FaceTime being like, am I saying this right?
And me and just you know being what? Like,
don't know. You know what I'm saying. The Apple TV Plus show called Silo, which I believe is based off a book series.
Yeah, I just learned that too, and apparently it's really good, so I might have to read it.
But first, we have a lot of TV news to cover because the Emmys were announced, and it's been a while since we recorded, so we've got some catching up to do. Mm-hmm. Jordan, what do you have for us?
Well, the first thing I have is that Renee Rapp is leaving The Sex Lives of College Girls. Says that she's going to be in a handful of episodes of season 3, but will no longer be a series regular. And will depart the show after those episodes. Which I'm pretty devastated about. I feel like she's the heart and soul of the show.
Yeah, I agree. I saw a tweet that said, Renee Rapp leaving Sex Lives of College Girls is my Zayn leaving One Direction. And I felt
wow,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be really interesting to see what it's like without her because I think she adds a lot to the show. And mm-hmm. I'm intrigued because it sounds like there might have been some drama behind the situation. And I think that's interesting. And like seeing Renee Rapp's rise to fame has been also just like very wild and interesting to watch in general. Mm-hmm. So sad, but guess good for her.
Yeah, I do support her in her decision, especially because it seems like she's going on tour. Like she wants to be a musician, yeah. Like lean more back into music versus just acting. I saw a lot of people comparing her to like Olivia Rodrigo on High School Musical, the musical, the series. And it is,
yeah,
it's pretty similar. But that show has a way, they've got like 6 ensemble cast, like of 6 people. And Sex Lives of College Girls is really, like now there's just the other 3 girlies that have to pick mm-hmm. up the slack. But I don't know, it'll be interesting.
A very interesting development of a Girl Meets Show fave, F-Boy Island, is that apparently it looks like Katie Thurston, who was previously a bachelorette on ABC, is going to be on F-Boy Island season 3. And I don't like it.
No?
I did not like her.
Oh, no. Because she is way post my bachelor knowledge. Like, I don't know I don't know, like, the discourse and opinion on her. So, okay,
she was very annoying to me. And, like, she's a person that, like, theoretically I should like her. But it's, like, kind of, like, she talks in, like, therapy talk. And is, like, all about, like, female empowerment in, like, an annoying way.
Performative, that I'm, like, kind of?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And so it'll be very interesting. I mean, I'm still going to watch. But very interesting crossover.
That is very interesting.
I'm going to give my last piece of news because it's also Bachelor related.
Perfect.
Which is they finally released The Golden Bachelor.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I don't have that bookmarked because that is groundbreaking, earth-shattering news.
Truly earth-shattering. I think I've already said this on the pod, but like I've been dying for this season of The Bachelor to happen because they announced that they were like looking for seniors early COVID 2020 days. And I was so excited and then like nothing ever happened. And now it's finally happening. And the pictures of this man are so interesting because like he is attractive. He's a very attractive older gentleman, but mm-hmm. I'm like, there's this weird golden hue and like weird self tanner on this man. And I'm like, does he actually look like this? Are they going to put this weird golden, like, filter over the whole show to, like, make all of them look really beautiful? Even though they're in their, like, 60s?
I mean, well, isn't he, like, in his 70s? I think maybe. He's like 71, I think I saw. And okay, he does not look that old.
Yeah, 71. You're right.
He's kind of giving like AI generated a little bit.
Yes. Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see like once the episodes actually start. Like, I'm going to watch, and I haven't watched Bachelor in a long time, but I'm going to tune in to see what it is.
Okay, great. I can't wait.
And I want to see, like, the contestants. Have you seen all these people are making jokes like, well, are they still going to have 20-year-olds as the contestants? I mean, they better
be very intrigued, especially because they're somehow able to find this, like, it's probably very rare for a 71-year-old to look this good as these photos look. So I'm yes. I wouldn't be surprised if The Bachelor still somehow finds stereotypically beautiful and thin 70-year-old women.
Oh, for this sure. Man. So I don't know. It's like him and like Mitt Romney are the only 70-year-olds that look like that. Where it's like, I'm actually yes. creeped out that you look this good. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, it's so true. It does have a Mitt Romney vibe.
I saw. It's funny because this is like barely. This is like almost anti-news, but they've said that because of the writer's strike, Euphoria season 3 has been postponed again and is expected to premiere in 2026. It's like,
just close it. Close up shop.
I think it can be canceled. I feel like it ends on kind of a weirdly positive note in that last episode of season 2, but just do
it. Give us one more episode, kind of like they did with the Zendaya Hunter Schaefer episodes.
Yeah.
And tell us what's going to happen with the money that Zendaya owes and that storyline. But then we don't need anything else.
I completely forgot about that loose end. Wow. Because like, well, no, I'm not even going to spoil it because I'm sure new people will watch it.
I mean, I feel like there weren't any total surprises for Emmys. I mean, Succession really came out on top, literally, with the most nominations, which we agree with and support.
Yes. Although, I do have to say, I do believe Succession deserves everything, but I think it is diabolical to have like 5 nominees in one category, all from Succession. That is cuckoo bananas.
Yeah, I agree. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Like, they've got to figure out a new way to do these categories to not be so like gendered, and like also like comedy versus drama doesn't really mean anything anymore either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that will be really interesting if they were to like put a cap on how many nominees could be from each show.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't necessarily think that they will cancel each other out, like I think often does happen, but there is such a high risk of people being like, well, I'll vote for the one that isn't from the same, they're all from the same show. I can't decide. I'm just going to vote for this other one.
Mm-hmm. Like, what if they didn't watch Succession and they only watched,
I only watched Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that one category where literally the only nominee, I think it's supporting actor, where they're only from Succession and White Lotus to fill up 10 spots or something. Like, that is wild.
Truly wild.
Like, that's so weird. But I guess in that case, they can't cancel each other out. Like, someone from White Lotus or someone from Succession is gonna win. But
yeah,
so I guess joke's on me, but it feels kind of weird, even though these are shows that I love and agree that they need so many nominations.
It's hard. I was really happy to see Fire Island get 2 Emmy nominations.
Yes.
And I Think You Should Leave also got 2 Emmy nominations, I believe.
Absolutely love to see it. Very deserved.
As far as snubs, I was very surprised that Nathan Fielder didn't get anything for The Rehearsal.
I didn't really think about that snub.
But is that because that's a wild show that doesn't really fit in well into like a specific category? I don't know.
I mean, it is interesting because it is like half reality, but also like I would call it more of a comedy than a reality show, but like it's more of a comedy than The Bear, but it is also like real people. So what do you do with that? That's a good snub to think about. My biggest shocking snub was Elizabeth Olsen in Love and Death. Like that is just it's weird. That's like they forgot. Like they literally just forgot to nominate her because she really deserved it.
Especially when Jesse Plemons got nominated.
Like, I can't. In this we our year, 2023, Plemons, the year of Barbie, like that feels so wrong. We love Jesse Plemons, but if you're gonna give one nomination to Love and Death, like she carried that whole show.
She carried it. He had to be boring as all boring could be. He didn't have to give anything.
No. Ugh. And yet again, I know it's such a cliche, but it is. I feel like especially this season of The Bear, it is a drama. Like they need to submit it as a drama. It is not that funny. It is an extremely good drama, and it is very stressful and dramatic. Like I cry. I cry way more than I laugh.
Yeah. Agreed. Agreed. And also, it's so confusing that these came out at the same time as The Bear season 2 is ending, because I'm pretty sure these nominations are for The Bear season 1, which I don't know if a lot of people have realized. So if you haven't, I'm telling you now. Although I haven't really fact checked myself, but I'm pretty sure because the eligibility time was over before The Bear season 2 started.
You have to be right. Yeah, there's no way that it's season 2. And I think what gets confusing is that they were nominated, but I think it was for Golden Globes.
Yes, there you go.
So that makes me feel like they already had their Emmy time, but they didn't.
Wow. We're always confused.
Very.
All right. The Silo on Apple. Jordan, you should give the quick skinny on what The Silo is.
Okay. So it's a dystopian kind of sci-fi futuristic series where there's a society that lives in this like tall tower underground, which they call the Silo. And they don't know how they got underground. Like it seems like the origins of the Silo, they're all unknown in to all the citizens basically. And none of them know how they got there or like why the Silo is underground. And basically all these kind of secrets are uncovered that they're being lied to basically about like what their reality is. And Rebecca Ferguson is the lead, and this is the worst explanation ever. But basically there's like all these kind of mysterious deaths start happening kind of. And so she kind of gets thrust into this mystery of trying to figure out like the truth of the Silo and like, are they being lied to? Who's even telling the lies? Everything like that. So it's very intriguing and like, we'll get into it, but I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, basically, it's really interesting because they have an entire society inside of this long, tall, underground tube. They have, like, a mayor of the Silo, and they have, like, a police organization with, like, the sheriff, and they also have, like, judicial, like, judges who are, like, enforcing the rules and, like, the moral code that was kind of set by the founders of this Silo. And those are kind of the main characters of the show. And so for our top three, we're going to give our own personal Silo, a mayor, a sheriff, and a judicial judge. Okay, Jordan, give us your government of your Silo.
Okay. Well, I mean, who's one of our most used characters in our top threes? Because that's who I cast as my sheriff. It's Coach Taylor.
Oh, he's perfect.
I just, like, don't trust anyone else in the world more than Coach and Tammy. And this Tammy could have, I would have cast as any of these roles as well. But I went with Coach today for the sheriff because, I don't know. As a woman in this world, violence is very scary. Extra scary because we're more vulnerable. And so I would want Coach as my sheriff in these dark times.
He'd be perfect. Would trust Thank him with you. My life.
I literally would. And as mayor, this is, I don't think she would like living in the silo at all, but I just feel like going off of her vibes, I actually think she would make kind of a good, like, politician, someone who has to, like, be hobnobbing with all the whole society and get everyone to like her. And I said Jean Smart on Hacks.
Ooh, yes, yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
She could, like, travel to each level and do a little comedy show.
Yes.
They would love her.
Everyone would love her. She would be very funny. And also, she's just, like she's kind of mean, but when she's schmoozing, she's amazing at it. So that's the vibe
totally.
I'm thinking.
And in the silo, it becomes very clear pretty quickly that the mayor doesn't really have that much power because it's mostly the judicial people running the show behind the
totally.
Scenes.
Totally. Pulling the strings. Yes.
Yeah.
So that makes my judicial choice even weirder.
Can't
but
wait.
I was something with the judicial branch. There's almost kind of this underlying, like, religious aspect to the style of, like, trusting in the founders, even though they don't know who they are or, like, how all these people got here. And, like, kind of, it's like their moral code. And so I was thinking of someone who's, like, very literal and follows, like, established rules to a T, even if he's the one who made them. And I said Nathan Fielder.
Okay, I when you were saying that, I was thinking you were gonna say Dwight.
Well, that's very much the vibe that I was just thinking. Yeah. For sure.
But that's perfect.
Thank you. He's just not really, like, the muscle behind it like some of the judicial characters are, but I thought that's a part of, like, the existential crisis of Nathan Fielder in all of his shows is, like, he has these rules that he's set for himself in this, like, whatever experiment he's doing. Mm-hmm. And then he, like, kind of gets lost in trying to follow them so closely and all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, that's kind of the vibe I'm thinking.
That's perfect. I love that.
Thank you.
I am coming... still trying to come down for my Barbie high, and so I couldn't help myself but make it an all-female membership for
Yay.
My silo government.
Well, mine, I was kind of like, these, I was like, some of these could skew, like, it's very easy to get corrupted. So I was like, mine's still a dystopia. I think that Nathan would really report everyone. So I want to hear more about your, like, utopia version with all ladies.
Nathan would be writing everyone up.
Yeah, truly.
Okay, so for my mayor, I chose Catherine from Catherine the Great.
Ooh!
The Great on Hulu. She's already kind of
Brilliant.
A ruler.
Yes.
And I just think that she could bring some fun to this, like, very drab, boring silo and kind mm-hmm. of, like, bring some life and color to it.
It needs color. I mean, it's basically
yeah.
all brown. Mm-hmm. Your clothes, the walls.
Every single thing. And then I said, for the sheriff, I said Sydney from The Bear. Because
oh, perfect.
She's kind of a
wow.
rule follower and kind of, like, a person, like, well, you said this and, like, you should be, like, you should... hold your end of the bargain kind of person.
Totally.
And I feel like she can also kind of, she's pretty good at, like, managing people and, like, seeing the best in people and, but still, like, mm-hmm. really down to earth. So people,
she is a,
like,
yeah,
her.
She's a good leader.
Yeah. People
wow.
respect her.
Very brilliant. Also, these are, like, young girlies, which is fun.
Yeah, it is. And then, we go a little older with this one because for judicial, I said Barbara Howard, a.k.a. Shirley Ralph in Albert Elementary.
Okay. Wow.
She's just, like, on top of it, knows her stuff, like, would make good rules that were like reasonable and
fair,
but yeah, hopefully wouldn't get corrupted like they do in the silo.
Totally. And like not taken advantage of which some of the different leaders in the different branches, it seems like they're kind of just puppets for like bad guys, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think she would do that.
No, I don't think so either.
Wow. I love it.
I'd love to have our silos next to each other and have like a little telephone line so we could see how each is going and see which one does better.
That sounds great. Because, yeah, like, I want to live in yours, but also, like, I think that Coach Taylor would, like, run a tight ship.
The Coach Taylor
nice.
Of it all. So he's the most feminist man of all of TV, so.
Woke king.
Okay, well, you kind of already said you enjoyed this show, so I will jump in and say I also enjoyed it. I did feel like the episodes got a little long and I got a little bit lost in like the middle/end. And I didn't love the finale, but I really was surprised at how much I liked the show. It gave a Hunger Games Severance kind of vibe, which we're two Hunger Games heads.
Yes. Big time. I was also thinking Andor. It's like mixed in Andor in there too.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it was really good. One of my notes basically sums it up. Said, I don't know anyone's names, but I basically know what's going on. But don't ask me any details, happy face. I'm just having fun.
Okay, that's so funny because one of my notes says, hard to remember people's names who are missing/dead. Because you get introduced to a character very quickly and then they're dead. And then there's multiple people who are dead or missing. And then it's like they're talking about them. And I'm like, I need a literal picture of each person when you are bringing up their name.
Yeah, exactly. I refer to them based on their appearance, basically.
Yes.
In my head. One of mine is like, wow, there's so many deaths like every episode and it's always the characters I like. Because it is tricky. They'll pull the rug out from under you because it feels like this person's like super important to focus on and then suddenly they get murdered.
I also felt like it kind of, there were times where it got a little cheesy. But I can embrace cheese.
Yeah. I feel like anytime there was something not perfect or whatever, like I was like, ah, this isn't as good. Or I said some of the side characters, the acting wasn't amazing on some of them, but nothing ever like bothered me. And even like you're saying, like the episodes are very long. Some of them feel like movies, but I still was into it. So I was like, this must be like a good show. Cause you know how we always complain about shows not being 30-minute long episodes, but yeah. Like, some of these were over an hour, but I still was like, dang, I really like this show. I'm really curious in the mystery of it all. I really want to know what, like, I want to unpack and know the secret of the silo and everything. So, I'm really excited. Yeah. It's already renewed for season two, and I don't know when we'll get it. But I'm really excited to watch it.
Yeah, me too. I want to talk about the finale, so it'll kind of be a little spoilery. But before we do that, it was funny because while I was watching this, news came out that in Salt Lake City, where I live, they just announced this new large neighborhood development called the Silos.
What?
Is it?
No!
Nuts?
Don't go there.
And it's like paying homage to the iconic grain towers and they're adding housing like a park. And I'm like, this is spooky. They need to not do that.
No. Wow. This is why pop culture is so important and TV. Like,
seriously.
Watch a show. Oh, wow. That is really wild. Before we get into spoilers, I want to shout out Rebecca Ferguson as the lead. She's awesome. I loved her in this. I was just talking to someone else how it's like, I never really think about her as an actor. Like, I always like her, but I never really, like, remember her. But I thought she was really good in this.
Yeah. And she made me have appreciation for my short hair.
Big time. The chop. Everyone is doing the chop. She looked so cool with her chop, her bob.
Yeah, I loved it.
And it was actually like she's blonde in this too, so it actually totally looks like yours. So
yeah, we're the same.
You look exactly like her. And
Miss Roy.
Yeah, the mom, Caroline Roy, aka Harriet Walter. Don't ask me her character's name in this show, but she was really good. Could not be more different than her Succession character.
Wild.
That was wild. So that was really fun. I thought they were great. Also, you know who else really stuck out to me as good was the guy from Game of Thrones that plays Rebecca Ferguson's dad, the doctor.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, he's good. I forgot about him. To me, he's a Game of Thrones character and not a real person. But I was like, wow, look, there he is. But yeah, it was fun.
Rashida Jones, people. I am interested to see if we'll have more of her character next season. Because, yeah, she was a big name and a big selling point for this show, I felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And not in it that much.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see if she comes back.
I was surprised. Well, okay. I really like Rashida Jones. Sometimes it's hard for me to not just see her as Rashida Jones and everything.
Yeah.
But I was surprised at how I was like, oh, I'm actually kind of like seeing her in this dystopian show instead of just being like, what's this modern lady from my time doing in this futuristic show? But I will say, one of my notes, speaking of character names, her name was Allison, and I was like, she does not look like an Allison. This is a really funny character name for her. Sorry. No offense.
Yeah.
I feel like that Allison is a blonde name. To me.
Shout out to our blonde friend named Allison.
Yeah, literally. Like, I can't think of... I guess Allison Williams has brown hair, but she's literally...
Yeah.
She doesn't look like an Allison to me either. She looks like a Marnie.
That is a problem with casting for a TV show that's based off a book. You can't change the names according to what the actors look like.
Wow, that's so true. That's such a good point.
Okay, real quick, did you like the finale? Did you feel like satisfied? I just felt like I was left with like none of my questions really answered at all.
I definitely had a ton more questions. Full disclosure, I watched the last few episodes so fast, they kind of blended together. So it's hard for me to remember specifically finale. One thing that I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. It is kind of funny that it's like, when someone goes out there in the suit and it looks all desolate and nasty, but in their helmet, they see beautiful meadow, so pretty, flowers, butterflies, whatever. But like, that's fake. Like, if they're going to kill them anyway, why are they giving them a little fake view of a beautiful meadow when it actually is revealed that it is all like the desolate wasteland out there, you know?
It's true.
It's like, did they want to give them hope right before they die to like it's just like extra like kind of torture or something like that? Or like they want their last thought to be like, they lied to us. Like, I don't get it. I'm confused.
I don't get it either. And like, one of my theories was that like the helmets that they give them actually like poison them, and yes, that's why they all die. So then I was also extra confused by that.
Well, it is true though, because remember, I think TV Time comments, shout out to TV Time.
Not sponsored, but could be if they get in touch with us.
Our dream is to be sponsored by them. If you know anyone that works there,
shoot your shot.
Because normally the suit does like either leak or put poison in them, and that's why they die. But because, and they like taped up her suit special, so none of the toxic air got into her.
I missed all of that.
Well, that's not your fault, I don't think, because... Oh, it's because like they say like, oh, they're good in supply. Because remember, she gives her that note when she's like in the jail cell that's like, don't worry about your job while you're gone. They're good in supply or something. And then it turns out that was a clue, because Rebecca Ferguson looks down and she like focuses on this big old tape on her arm or something. And she's like, oh, they're good in supply. Like, she thinks that again because they, like, rigged her suit so she didn't get poisoned. So you're right. They normally were getting poisoned. She just didn't get poisoned and made it up to the top of the hill to look over because they, like, taped up her suit, right, or something.
Wow, I'm kind of proud of myself for being right then, mm-hmm. because I literally...
Yeah, you called it. Like,
I missed all of that.
No, that you is totally so, called it.
That's so interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess in those final moments, the big reveals were that actually, like, because they kept saying the is like a conspiracy that actually it's pretty outside and they just want to keep them all locked up in the silo. But actually... it is desolate outside. What they see in the helmet screen is fake. It is a wasteland. And she looked over the hill and there's like a bunch of other silos. Right? Like those are like the kind of the big reveals, like the cliffhangers for the next season, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That makes me feel a little bit better talking through that. So thank you for explaining that to me.
You're welcome. Please don't ask me a single other question about any other detail because there were a lot of things that I was like, okay, I'm just along for the ride, hoping this will make sense to me later because I am a little confused. But it was never in a way that like set me off and made me too frustrated. Like I always was like, I think I can put together the details that I need and... you know, like, so I feel like I still really liked this show.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. I should have mentioned this earlier, but like, I always really like a show where it's like, they've grown up in this like very secluded thing and don't know what real life things are. So like when they like find a video camera and they have no idea what it is or how it works or mm-hmm. anything. I think that stuff is like really fun and has to yes. be really fun to like write on because like you have to like come up with these things and like think about it in a way that's like they don't know what anything is other than what's in the silo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It's very intriguing and it makes it so like we're dropped into this world and it's easy to pick up where they all are because of little things like that. Like how they call all these old artifacts that are modern for us, like watches and the videos and stuff, they're relics. Like I like that idea. It's fun.
Yeah. And also my last note is just, I should have also mentioned this earlier, but like I would recommend the show to anyone. I feel like it's like a people pleaser. Anyone who enjoys TV would like it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like I have recommended it to just a couple people in passing and they've all been like, oh, I really like it, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I guess we'll see what happens in season two if and when Hollywood gets their crap together.
Like, it might, like, when is it going to happen? Because, like... it's sad that it's only when the actors strike that now it's probably going to be taken more seriously because, like, you literally can't make anything without the actors, too.
Mm-hmm. It's wild stuff. Really, really sad and upsetting.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like, we don't have to go down this rabbit hole too much, but, like, just the fact that, like, people like Mandy Moore, who I think of as rich, is like, yeah, I get checks for This Is Us for 81 cents or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh... excuse me?
I know. I also saw a tweet that I bookmarked. Hold on. I'm pulling it up because I thought it was really interesting. Where Lily Reinhart, aka Riverdale Sweetie, responded to this tweet where it was says, hold up. Studios were making actors travel far away to shoot their TV shows and then refusing to pay for housing and other travel costs because now they were residents. And Lily Reinhart responded and said yes. So it sounds like after like the first season of Riverdale, they were considered like residents where they filmed, which was in Canada, and then had to pay for like their own travel costs and housing, which is crazy. Wow.
That is so ridiculous. Never knew.
I know. I was kind of surprised that didn't get like more, because it like the Mandy Moore clip got like a lot of.
Yeah, very well circulated.
Yeah. And then, like, yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting.
Wow, that's wild.
Okay. On to our last item of business. Who's your crush of the week?
I'm going to give it up to Rebecca Ferguson. I feel like maybe I've underrated her as an actress a little bit because I feel like, I mean, like you were saying, Hunger Games, it's very Katniss type of role. The plot line of someone becoming sheriff with zero kind of law enforcement background was like very funny to me and fun that it's like, talk about a fish out of water. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was like just really funny to think about. And but yeah, like I thought she was great. I say that she's Katniss in the way where like she's very independent and like kind of a tough exterior.
Kind of wears a cargo jacket.
Yeah. Wears cargo pants too. And like a lot of her stuff was very like internal, you know? Yeah. Like she's kind of like stoic in a way. But like I really like trusted her as a lead and was, I just found her very intriguing and I thought she's really cool.
Yeah, I really liked her too. I feel like this is taking a complete left turn because this is something we haven't even discussed yet and it could open a can of worms, but we're gonna hold back. But we've both been really binging Claim to Fame, which we've talked about on this pod before.
Yes.
Season 2 just started and
I know who you're gonna say.
Kevin Jonas,
yes,
is slaying it. And you know what? I think I'm in favor of Kevin Jonas leaving the Jonas Brothers and doing Claim to Fame full time. I think.
I mean, if we could get like 5 new seasons a year, I would finally be like a 100% happy person.
I really want it to replace the Bachelor franchise. Like, I think it should, like, there should be a Bachelor season, a Claim to Fame season, a Bachelorette season, a Claim to Fame season, and then, like, Paradise. And I think that's how they should do the rotation now. And that's my proposal. But yeah, Kevin Jonas looks really fire.
I feel like we've said before, he has surpassed Joe. Joe will always be the hottest one to me. Nick. Like, Nick is the third hottest Jonas brother. So, congrats to Kevin. I am just dying. I'm scrolling through my camera roll because I actually took a picture of Kevin that I forgot I was going to send you. That was like, wow, look how hot he looks. So, I'll send you that now.
I can't wait to get it.
Now that we're talking about it. Because I couldn't believe. I'm sure you'll recognize. It's when he's wearing, like, this plaid, like, kind of shacket shirt. Like, you'll probably recognize it. This pose or like this outfit specifically, but yeah, could not co-sign harder on that crush. Wow.
Yeah, he looks great. And honestly, like, I don't, they probably have stylists, I'm sure, but like they're killing it.
Love it. Love that show. I just recommended it to more people just tonight.
Great.
It's so fun.
I literally couldn't shout it from the rooftops any louder.
Seriously. It's just it's so good.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. Silo, a recommendation. Stamp of Girl Meets Show approval on both sides.
Yes. It's good. It's fun. And you might not think it's fun, but I actually had fun watching it. It was exciting.
Yeah. It was just like an interesting idea that felt new.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.